concentrations and adapting skills for the upcoming Yom Tov. So the it's a good time. We're in the Tkuf. We began Sichas last night. So we're in the time when we should be exercising our concentration on the davening and seeing how we can prepare ourselves for the days of davening that are ahead. One of the questions that we've pondered in the past is the phrase Zachreinu L'chaim and V'chosveinu B'sefer Achaim. We ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu Zachreinu L'chaim, Melachofetz B'chaim, God should judge us for life, Melachofetz B'chaim, the King who wants life, V'chosveinu B'sefer Achaim, and He should write us in the Book of Life, L'man Chalikim Chaim, for the sake of the Rabbanu Shlomo, who was the God of all of life. So I've often pondered what is the significance of having Zachreinu V'chosveinu. Zachreinu, judge us, give us a gzar din, V'chosveinu, and write us. So there are, one can have various suggestions as to different aspects of the din, but all of them sort of unravel when we get to the end of the Shmon Esrei, and we say, V'sefer Chayim, Brocha, V'sholim, V'farnos, V'tayba, Nizacher, V'nikosei. We should be mentioned and we should be written. We should be judged and we should be written. If we're written, I said, what's Vinizach? What does the Nizachar add? What do we? Why did you say Vinikosei? We should be written for a good life. So I've suggested various things over the course of the years. I can't say anything which is particularly satisfying. This year I came across a suggestion by Rabbi Yisrael Meir Druck, one of the great Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, and a prolific author, and he suggests that based on a Rashi in this week's parasha, the Torah describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us choices of Chayim and choices of otherwise. And there Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moira Chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us how to choose life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu trains us how to appreciate what approaches are an approach which has greater energy and greater life and greater ruchnius. And those who are learning Daf Yomi just came across the Gemara that says that Kol Yom Yetzer Misgaber Olam. Every day the Yetzer Ra becomes the greater. And Ulmoli HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't be there to give a siyata to Shemaya, so who would be able to stand up against the Yetzer Hara? So one of the requests we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to help us figure out Chayim. So he suggests Zachreinu L'Chayim is the request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us instruction, to give us guidance. Rashi gives a description that a person who says, a person has several different areas of his field that he's going to give out to various buyers, to various children. So he wants to show that he's a very good section for somebody. So he tells them, this is a good section, and then he takes him over to the section and says, this is how your section is going to look. So the very strong Meir Druck suggests that that's what we're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zachreinu L'Chaim, instruct us, help us, give us the siyata d'shmaya that we need in order to make decisions and to exercise those decisions in a way that we will merit Chayim, that we will merit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great bracha of life and greater. And why? Because Melech HaVizman, because Baruch Hu wants us. Because Baruch Hu wants us to figure out decisions that will enhance our Chayim, that will lead us to great, give us those chuyas. And then we request, it's not exactly the way Yisrael Meir Druck says it, it's a little bit of a tweak in what he says, V'chosveinu b'sefer achayim, and then we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us a judgment that for to be able to live, to be able to have chiyus, to l'mancha elekim achayim. And then we, as we say many, many times, that our request is that the Rabbonu Shel Olam, that our lives will give greater covet to Rabbonu Shel Olam. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zachreinu L'Chaim, help us understand, help us make good decisions, help us have the strength, conviction, help us do the Gidrei Tshuva, help us do Tshuva so that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chavitz B'Chaim, He wants us to do these good things. He wants us to make good decisions. He wants us to practice HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And then, separate request, the Chosveinu b'Sefer HaChaim is Rosh Zayin of life, and that is l'mancha al-mor, that the greater life we enjoy will do mitzvahs for Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he's helped us make these good decisions. So this is a suggestion of what kavanas we can have in mind when we say nizocher v'nikosev. Kadosh Baruch Hu should instruct us and help us v'nikosev, and we should be zecher for the din. Yisroel Meidruk, I think I saw in the Sefer another very interesting comment. We have often discussed in the past ubechein, right? The word from the Vilna Gaon. We'll mention it very briefly because we've expanded upon the past. Why do we say on the Shemayna Esrei ubechein tein pachto, ubechein tein kov, ubechein tzaddikim? Why all the ubecheins? And therefore, and therefore, and therefore, and so. And we pointed out the Ibn Ram says, because it says, what's the famous ubechein in, right? Ubechein oval melech shalom kedos. Esther says, I'm going to come to the king Achashverosh, even though it's not right and it's not appropriate. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, that's the Ubechein, the Gros says, that we remind ourselves of Esther, Ubechein, we're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we're going to come in front of Rosh Hashanah, even though we're not yet really prepared. We're not yet, especially this year, where most of the Elul is in August, so we're certainly not prepared. So I guess we have maybe have a good defense for us, for ourselves. How can we prepare when we only, September 1st is only a day or two ago. But there's an interesting question to ponder, and that is that the requests of Ubechein Tein Pachta, Ubechein Tein Kovid, Ubechein Tzadikim, these are all requests for Mashiach, basically, for Mashiach's time. They are requests for Kadosh Baruch Hu having a greater show of His sovereignty of His malchus. So we understand why on Yom Ne'iram we're davening for Kadosh Baruch Hu's malchus to become fully exercised. However, question that Rav Druk ponders is why does this come up any other time? We daven for Mashiach all the time. We daven for Mashiach every single day, three times a day. We have numerous brachos for Yimos HaMashiach, right? Every single Musaf. We daven, Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring us back to the base of Mikdash. Reish Chodesh, beautiful tefillas, Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring Yimos HaMashiach. So why don't we use this nusach, Uvachein tein pachtach, Uvachein tein kov, Uvachein tzadikim, Yuri Yismachu? How come those nuschos are reserved for Yom Ne'iram? Uvachein tein pachtach is very, very direct. Right? In our davening, we ask we should have some of the ramifications of Yimos HaMashiach. Musaf, we ask, have the ramification, have the Beis HaMikdash, return to Eretz Yisrael. Reish Chodesh, we ask again to be back in Beis HaMikdash, have the songs of the Beis HaMikdash. And every single day we ask, have Semach David, have Malchus. We don't ask because Baruch Hu should reveal himself as a Melech. But no, that's reserved for Yom Ne'iram. So he suggests the following. He says that, and I'm mentioning this because it's a way of getting into the davening for Yom Ne'iram. It says, Yisrael Salanter said that one of the frightening and challenging aspects of davening is if our hearts and our minds are not, our mouths and our hearts are not in the same place. If we mouth the words and we're not present, heads are not there. And the aspect of Kadosh Baruch Hu and Kibiyochol, Kadosh Baruch Hu would turn to and say, is that what you really want? Right, and we wouldn't be able to say we're there. So that's a very frightening presentation, to be in front of the Baruch Hu and ask for things and not really be committed to what we're asking for. So therefore Chazal, when they formulate what we ask for on any given day, we're there. Hashiva Sheftayach Kibush. We'd like to have, it would be good, everybody can connect with the idea of having a better court system, having better batidinim, having more derech that are give greater guidance. Yerushalayim, Yerucho, Berachamim, Toshuv. We can all connect with the idea to have Yerushalayim, Bivinyana, to have to go to the coastal plaza and not be in front of a coastal, in front of Beis HaMikdash. We can all connect with Semach David, have Malchus, not have four elections in the course of the year, have some of these Malchus, that we can all connect with those ideas. And piva levi shavin, and we can get ourselves to the point where we really want the things that we're asking for. To ask for malchus of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to ask that Kadosh Baruch Hu should be the Tsar, everybody should recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is malchus. That's a very high, lofty space to reach. So on a Thursday morning, when we're only half awake and we've been up for slicha, it's very hard to get ourselves to the point of saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Megala, Malchuscha V'Oilu, right? And another Kriyas Yamsuf. How wonderful it would be to have Mashiach and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, every person would recognize the old Malchus of Ori. So that's to get to that Madrega is not easy. So he suggests that Chazal were hesitant to put that in as a nusach that we ask for every single day. But comes Yom Neiroim, and we understand that the most powerful tefillah that we have, the greatest chance that we have to be zeich in our tefillahs, is if we can turn to the Kadosh Baruch Hu and say that we're working for Kvod Malchus Shamayim. Then if we turn to the Kadosh Baruch Hu and we say we have this long list of requests, how can we have requests? It's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's day, it's not my day. Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes Melech today. He's Bari Olam today. So I request, I come in as I have a din on my head. So whoever heard of a person coming to a court and Chayim and Misa Kluyim B'Yoda, and he comes with a request, he wants good health, and he wants children, and he wants nachas, and he wants... It's a strange situation. So the Teretz is, because we come to Kadosh Baruch Hu and we say that if we are zocha and getting the brachos that we're looking for, we will enhance Kvod Shemayim. We will enhance Kadosh Baruch Hu's malchus. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us life, so be another year, Bezer Hashem, of many, many years where we're davening, we're learning, we're doing mitzvah, we're doing tzedakah, we're teaching a Kadosh Baruch Hu, where we're being mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us health, so we're going to use that health in order to be able to do greater Kvod Shemayim, more mitzvahs, more chesed, more for the tzibur. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us prosperity, more tzedakah. Our request in Yom Neiron is Galei Kvod Malchuscha, and we want to be a part of that. And whatever bracha we get, we will use for greater Kvod Malchus. So since that's the most powerful tefillah, and that's how we come to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we come to the Kadosh Baruch Hu with our long list because we're saying, that's L'mancha Hashem. We said, Zachreinu L'chayim Melechavit V'chosfeinu B'sefer L'mancha L'kim Chayim. It's all L'mancha. At the end of the Slichas, we have a long paragraph L'mancha. So, comes Yom Neiroim, and Pid B'liv Yishove. When we ask for Malchus Kvod Shemayim, we're there. Because we understand that the brachos we're asking for are the brachos which will increase Kvod Shemayim. So Rav Druk suggests that that's why on Yom Neiroim Chazal had the optimism, call it the chutzpah, to say that a simple Jew could say v'chein tein pachta shem kol ma'asecha, because we're saying to the Baruch Hu, if you give us the koyach to speak and to daven, so we're going to daven for tein pachta, and our words are going to be words that are marvi kvod shemayim. Want to finish up with a few words about Malchius, the first bracha. Why Malchius? Because one of the most impressive comments in preparation for Yom Neiron, we mentioned this last year or two, the Kalman Magid said, when we come to Rosh Hashanah, and one of the mitzvahs in Rosh Hashanah is to announce the Kadosh Baruch Hu sovereignty. So he said, we are prepared to come to Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah and have the tshuva. We've accomplished some measure of tshuva. We've accomplished some kabbalah, some gidrei tshuva. All right. But if we come to Kadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, and we're davening for Kadosh Baruch Hu's malchus, and meloyech al kol ha'olam kulei b'chaydecha, and we haven't thought about it before Yom Tov, so what's our request going to be? How are we going to, on a moment's notice, when we turn the page in the machzer, and we get to meloyech al kulei b'chaydecha, and we're going to be able to think in a moment about what it means to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to be the sovereign. What does it mean? We haven't thought about it. They haven't prepared ourselves. So a Jew's going to come on Yom Neiron, and he hasn't thought about Malchus Kvod Shemayim, he's not going to be ready to carry off one of the great avodas of the day. Let's take a moment now to think about Malchus. And Malchus, we say, the Malchus in Musav, and there's the Chronis and Shofars, I just want to focus on Malchus, is one of the most difficult tefillahs. Because Chazal said, say 10 psukim. What are we thinking when we say 10 psukim? What's going to remind us when we say 10 psukim? to me, that's one of the greatest examples of the value of piyutim. Last year we had to explain the value of piyutim because it was a move to minimize the piyutim. Right? If we minimize the piyutim, that means we wouldn't have a deres amuna, it means we wouldn't have a shemelech, a shemelech, we wouldn't have, speaking about how the malachim, shenenei shachar, we would have the 10 dry psukim of Malchius. So I assume in the time of Chazal, when Chazal gave 10 psukim, so they were all Boki and Tanakh, and they had also to Machshavis. So they said, Apostle, Hashem, they reviewed all of Kriyas Yamsuf. They said, Rasmus Melech Boy, they reviewed all Parsha Bilam. But the apod, when I say the pasuk, you know, it's hard for me to figure out what I'm supposed to be thinking right now. So the Paitonim did me a tremendous favor, and they said we're going to hammer in Malchus by saying Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, and a beautiful piyutim. But the Malach, and that's there's going to be a shift because the Paitonim saw that the Jew of the second base of Mikdash to get to the place where that Jew's going to get to. So the and now you're talking about. Thousands of years later, so for me to get to that place, I need piyutim, right? A person taking a sanatoga. So for hundreds of years, Jews get into the spot of the Yom HaDin through the sanatoga. Can you imagine that in the sanatoga? It's zichronos. So by saying 10 psukim zichronos, you also get into the spot of the Yom HaDin. So I assume that if you're a Jew, after Churban Beis HaMikdash, you can do it. But there's a Yeridus HaNeiros, so we need these piyutim to embellish. So we have the psukim of Zichronos, of Malchius. There's a beautiful word from the Sfas Emes that I want to suggest just to give us ideas to think about. The Gemara says that we have 10 psukim. Why 10 psukim of Malchius? Because the Kishvaruch created the world with ten amiros. Said by Yerba 10 times. The Gemara said, the Mishnah Ovi says, why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu create the world with 10 Amirs? He could do it with one Amir, right? So, to give Rishoyim bigger trouble when they don't recognize God, they are violating 10 Amirs. And to give Tzaddikim greater kavod, because greater schar, because we are exercising 10 Amirs. Ma Pirush HaDvar, what's the Sosema says, the marvelous Sosema says that by saying 10 Amirs, a Kodesh Baruch Hu has given the human being the possibility of missing the Ribbono Shel Olam, or has given the possibility of Kodesh Baruch Hu discovering a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hezra Adorn, where would I understand it? One Amira is the Big Bang, right? 10 Amiras is evolution over a long period of time. So a person thinks of Big Bang, so that people say, I'm talking to the Misholem right now, just to get the idea across quickly. That it's a Big Bang, some people will say, all right, that is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Others say, Big Bang is, how could it have happened without the Baruch Hu creating this? That's a real sign of Malchus. But many people, if they see the world coming out, 10 Amiras, and its stages, and its development, and it takes thousands of years, and it goes through evolution, so then they miss the Ribbono Shel Olam. They don't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu because they think it's random and it happens and it's not guided by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Sfas Emes says that's what it means that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave 10 Amiras instead of one Amira. A Big Bang, even a Russia would be able to say that's the Ribbono Shel Olam. But 10 Amiras, it's slow, it takes time. You miss a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Gemara, the Mishnah says, Sfas Emes explains, but the same 10 Amiros can convince a person of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can, if you're looking for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you'll find the Kodesh Baruch Hu over and over and over again. In other words, you look at the first day of Bria, you see a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you look at different parts of Bria to finish off the Moshe, to finish off the allegory I'm using. A person looks at the winning evolution and says every single time when a species is about to get lost, there's a mutation just punked ready in the right place, in the right spot. So if you're a Maimon, if you're not a Maimon, no, it's random here, but if you're a Maimon, you see Kodesh Baruch Hu over and over again. So that's what the Mishnah is saying, Sfas Emes says, that the 10 Amiros, when they're used properly, it gives you much more insight into Kodesh Baruch Hu. You see Kodesh Baruch Hu was the Bari Kodesh Baruch Hu was the Bari Piyadom, you see different patterns in the Bria. So we have 10 psukim. So apparently those 10 psukim, Chazal being merames to us, to see the Rabbonu Shlolam in these, through these different psukim. L'moshol, we'll finish with the moshol. Meantime, Rabbi Conan and Rabbi Weinberg can figure out who's going next. So, so finish off the moshel. You say Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, right? So your mind goes to Kriyas Yamsa. You stop for a moment and you think about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus was expressed at Kriyas Yamsa. Think about the Bechiras Yisrael. You think about the change of nature. You think about the Egyptians drowning. Next pasuk is Shruas HaMelech Boy. Kadosh Baruch Hu's friendship to Klal Yisrael. Leave it up me after. Stop for a moment. I can see Kadosh Baruch Hu. I can see Shruas HaMelech Boy Kriyas Yamsuf. Because Halol Ov Dibidazor, Halol Ov Dibidazor. I can see Shruas HaMelech there because we were, Kadosh Baruch Hu selected us and gave and favored us. Or I see other places where Kadosh Baruch Hu showed an unbelievable protection for Klal Yisrael. 67. Where everyone's mind goes. When stops for a moment and sees a Gilei Elokus in a place we otherwise would not be able to see if we wouldn't think about it. So that's what the three ideas we wanted to cover is a pshat in Zachreinu and Kosveinu, Nizachem and Nikosev. They were asking for Kadosh Baruch Hu's aid and guidance, Yata Deshmai, in keeping his mitzvahs. That of Achein Tein Pachtacha is the day that we ask for Gilei Elokus very, very straight, because Gilei Elokus, revealing Kadosh Baruch Hu, exercising Kadosh Baruch Hu's malchus, is the way that I can achieve my brachos, and therefore my heart and my soul and my words are all in the same place. And to think about the 10 psukim of Malchus, that to try to stop for a moment, and that one can do it in advance, is even better. And to think for a moment how a Kadosh Baruch Hu's sovereignty was shown by these psukim. It's an avod, it's not easy, but if we have that in mind, so it will be a great way of being mekayim. But if the Baruch Hu says, "Imru lefanai," say these psukim kedei shetam lichuni aleichem, so that we can be a part of expressing the Baruch Hu's malchus on Mashana, that'd be tremendous chus, and it'll be a way of earning great, great brachos from Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Rabbi Neuberger and Rabbi Kohn. Part of the preparation for me in doing this is that I know how much the Rav likes to quote Rav Druk. And part of the pachad is that I also like Rav Druk's sefer. It's a very good sefer. So I spent the afternoon looking at Rav Druk also, and then I had to daven and, you know, schwitz it out while the Rav was referencing certain pieces. I thought I got knocked out twice already, but Baruch Hashem, I think I'm still have a little bit to share. So let's begin just by suggesting a thought, and again, much of what I'm sharing is from Rav Druk's beautiful master. But I think this insight gives us perspective why it's so important to want to learn the Machzor. This is a tough night, especially after Slichos, like last night. It was a late night for many people, and I'm sure a very busy day for people. But it's important, before we come to Yom HaDin, to actually know what we're saying. So Rav Druk has a very insightful question on, again, the words, some of the words the Rav has already mentioned, V'chein tein pachtecha. In the tefillah of V'chein tein pachtecha, we daven, we say, we ask, that eventually we hope that somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's recognition will be felt by all. V'yeyasu kulam aguda achas lasas v'tzoncha b'leiv avshalim. That the world will be united in the performance of the Ratzon Hashem. K'moshi adam. Those are very interesting words. They're not really adding anything. Not really sure what exactly it's saying. K'moshi adam, as we know, right? Or for we know, Hashem Elokeinu shashulton, or shashulton, depending on different nusach, shashulton, shashulton lefanecha, oz v'yadcha, gvur v'minecha. What's the k'moshi adam? It's two words in your mach, so you can actually circle and say, what do I need that for? We daven, we hope, yeyasu kulam aguda achas lasas v'toncha b'levav shalim. We want the whole world to recognize Hashem. That's the uvechein ten pachtecha. Hashem should place his dread, his awe, his impression upon Kol Ma'asecha. The world should recognize him. Kamoshi Adano, what? True insight, and it's part of the reason we need to prepare before we come to Rosh Hashanah itself. And that is Kamoshi Adano. There's a lot of things that as human beings we know to be true in our mind, but it's very difficult to act upon. I would say probably most of Eros that we do over the course of a year is rooted in that. A disconnect between our mind and our actions, or our mind and our heart. To know something in a theoretical sense, but there's a tremendous gap that exists between the world of the theoretical and the application of that knowledge. V'yadata yom v'hashivosa el v'avecha. That's an important pasuk, and the tzaddikim say there's a tremendous gap between the v'yadata and the v'hashivosa el v'avecha. There's a tremendous gap between the v'yadata and the asiyah l'ma'asa, to be able to actually do it. It's interesting, even that pasuk, v'yadata hayom, we know that the word hayom is often code word for Rosh Hashanah, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, like Chazal points out, like the Zohar points out, Rashi at the beginning of Sefer Iyov, and the Satan comes Hayom before Hashem to try to malign, to try to slander Iyov. Hayom is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. So V'yadata Hayom, when it comes to the knowledge that we have in Rosh Hashanah, the things that we're supposed to know, and we do know it, we know it in our mind, we see it in the text, but V'ashivos Elo Avecha, to take it to heart, and more so, again, we read the words carefully. Not just Yeyasu Kul Maguda Achas, but Yeyasu Kul Maguda Achas La'asos Ritzon Chabalev Avshalim, says the text, says the Machzor. To be able to do the Ratzon Hashem with a full heart, Kemoshi Adam. As we know it here. We know it in our mind. But am I able to actually make that a reality? La'asos, the Asiyah. The Rav actually just gave me some chizik because he reminded us that the Gemara says, Imru lefanai malchios. Sometimes it is enough to, you know, as much as Dibarnu dofi, but the lip service is also Imru lefanai. Say the words. If you say the words, that's also something. But when it really comes to the centerpiece of the tshuva process, when the Gemara describes in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped in a talus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us again the words that are probably the most prominent in our mind, the greatest tool that Hashem ever gave us to return to Him. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Achum Becham. So if you read that Gemara carefully, Hashem taught us to do what? Hashem didn't teach us to recite. Again, Imru Lefanai Malchios. Say before me, Malchios. We could talk about Zichronos, we could talk about Shofros, and that has value in and of itself. But that Gemara, look carefully, Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yad Zayin Amud Beis, when Hashem teaches Klal Yisrael the secret of the Yud Gimel Midos Sharachamim, it's Ya'asu Lefanai, Kaseder Hazeh. Do the Yud Gimel Midos Sharachim. Live the Yud Gimel. That's what the whole Sefer Tomer Devorah is about, but from the Ramak. Moshe Cordovero, the great Makubal, from about 500 years ago, the Ramak wrote a Sefer describing, explaining to us how we're supposed to be able to live these attributes. Ya'asu Lefanai Kaseder Hazeh, to apply it. There's a mashal, I think it's well known, but it's important to repeat it in this context, the mashal of the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim says, imagine a person who's assigned the task of watching over a person's store. And the owner assigns this fellow, it's his first day with some type of, you know, managerial responsibilities, and he gives him a long list, a checklist of things that are his responsibilities. The owner returns to the store after going on vacation for a week. He trusted the fellow to tend to whatever needed to be taken care of. He comes back and he says, nope, how'd it go? And he says to his boss, he says, boss, the list you gave me, took care of it. Yep, took care of it? Yeah. Every day I sat down, I read through the list, top to bottom, and then, oh, I was supposed to do something with the list. You gave me the list. He said, make sure you go over the list. So I went over the list. I read through the list every day. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, B'chanun. It remains in that realm of the theoretical. And therefore we remind ourselves again, Kamoshi Adam, it's a powerful phrase. It seems like two little throwaway words, but it's a powerful phrase if we meditate on it. I should be able to actualize the things that I know. All of the shiurim, all of the insights, all of the svarim that I've read, all of the things that we hear, and everything that the Machzor is telling us and revealing to us, to be able to apply that to our life. On the day of Rosh Hashanah Hayom, to take it to heart, that's a very powerful thing. Rav Leib Chassman, the great Mashkiach, used to say that we make a mistake even in our terminology, the phrases that we use. Sometimes I like to remind my Talmidim when we talk about the Torah says, the Rambam in the Perash Mishnah often says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amar Hashem Yisbarach. It's an amazing way that the Rambam reminds us that it's not the Torah. The Torah is not just a book on the shelf. It's the way that Hashem communicates with the Jewish people. Amar Hashem Yisbarach. That's very different than the Shulchan Aruch says. Hashem says. But Rav Leib Chassin says we often refer to the thing that we do during these days as saying slichos. We're not saying slichos. Slichos is not something that we say. Rav Leib Chassin once rebuked someone. He said, we're not saying slichos, we're asking slichos. We're asking slicha, please Hashem forgive me. It's a very different way of, again, of trying to not just pay tribute with lip service, but to actually try to apply it in a more personal way. Baruch of Mezhvush, who was a relative of the Baal Shem Tov, one of the early Hasidic masters, so one time a person had slighted him. And he said to Rav Baruch, he said, you know, if I could ask the Rav for mechila, I hope that you're mochel me, as we often do. So he said to him, Salachti kedvarecha. So the person thought, that was a mechila gemura, Salachti kedvarecha. I asked slicha. So someone was there and explained, no, Salachti kedvarecha means the slicha is in accordance with kedvarecha. However sincere your words are, that's how good the slicha is. If the words are heartfelt words, right, then the slicha will be a heartfelt slicha. So, as the klal is at the end of Maseches Avos, lafum tzara agra, in accordance with the effort is the reward. The more we prepare ourselves, the more we'll be able to get something out of the experience of the Yom Naram. As Rav Soloveitchik would always say or explain, right, there can be no holiness, there can be no kedusha. There can be no kedusha sayom, there can be no kedusha b'chalal without proper preparation. I was reading Rabbi Mark Wilds from the Manhattan Jewish Experience. He put out a little book this year. Cute little book, a very sweet little book called The 40-Day Challenge. A little insight each day from the beginning of Elul through Yom Kippurim. So the first piece, he talks about preparation. And the example he gives is a secular one, but it's one that should motivate us. He describes how Tom Brady, the great Super Bowl champion quarterback, the mishugan of things that he does to get ready for a Super Bowl. He sends his family out of the house. He moves them out of the house for 2 weeks beforehand so he can have utter concentration, that nothing should share his concentration to prepare for the big game. And the degree that he practices. One of his teammates, he once said, I want to practice with you 5:30 in the morning. The fellow showed up, he slept in a little bit, he showed up at 6:30. And Tom Brady greeted him, good afternoon. For those who don't have a seat, you can have an appreciation of such a thing. But the preparation, a havdil a million times over, but the preparation that a Jew needs to make in order to come to these days is a very significant thing. And again, the more that we understand the ideas, then hopefully we'll be able to la'asos Moshe Adanu, that which we know. A second thought, in the sense of continuation of the theme. The Rav was talking about Zachreinu and Kasveinu. That's when I got nervous. So I'll share a different insight that I saw also in Rav Druk's Machzer. What's the difference between a Zachira and a Ksiva? And why do I really need both? The Rav asked it more from the perspective, if you have a Ksiva, why do you need a Zachira? Let's ask it in the opposite direction also. Bechlal, right? What is the difference between them? And again, if I have a zechira, what is a ksiva adding? So Rav Druk explains a zechira, again, is sort of more in the theoretical realm. I remember something, but it's possible that I'll come to forget it. I know for myself that if I don't take notes before I get up here to speak, I'll probably forget everything that I want to share with you. So I'm very much dependent on my ksiva. If I want to remember to do certain things over the course of the day, I make myself a list of things, of responsibilities. Rav Soloveitchik said that when he was by that famous Fabrengen with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, on the ride back, Rav Soloveitchik said, one of the things he was so misfall from the Rebbe was that the Lubavitcher Rebbe could speak for hours and hours and hours without any notes, quoting Mamar Chazal, quoting Psukim with such a fluidity. It was remarkable. Rav Soloveitchik was blown away by that. Rav Soloveitchik, when he would prepare the famous Yahrzeit Joshua, he would have his... He would have pages and pages of written notes. And he was totally blown away by that a person could have such a mind, such a memory. But says Rav Druk, the world of Zechira is less permanent than the world of Ksiva. And therefore, when we write something down, it gives it a degree of permanence. What we're asking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that if Zachreinu L'chaim, of course in the world of Hashem, this is not really necessary, because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Shechecha, L'fnei Chisei Chvodecha, Hashem doesn't forget. But from the human perspective, the way that we petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu during these days, we ask Hashem, we're nervous. That if it's only going to be a zechira, we're scared that maybe something will come and take away that zechira. Again, in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no forgetting. But from a human, in a very honest and human way, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please write it down also. Give it a further degree of permanence so that no kitru could come and say, I object. Once it's written, once it's signed, then, so to speak, it's no longer able to be removed and able to be erased. And I think that's also a very practical tip for us. There are many, many feelings that we want to bring, obviously, to the Yom Lara. And sometimes there's things that I might be thinking about and contemplating throughout the month of Elul, but I'm standing there, I'm a little nervous on Rosh Hashanah, as I'm standing there, mamish lefnei Hashem, or Yom Kippur, by the Ilah, this was the most important thing to me, and somehow I left it out of my Shemona Esser. Make yourself a little list. Maybe the obvious things that you know, of course I'm going to daven for this thing, but sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle. Right? I can't pull up the name of the hole I've been davening for all year. Put it down on a piece of paper. Let it serve as you know, not only as a chira, but let it be a ksiva. And that'll make it more easy for us to connect to it and to make sure that nothing is really left behind. But again, as a tefillah, we're asking a Kaddish Baruch Hu, don't allow the good things that we've done to remain in the realm of zechira, where the satan, whatever that means, could, the sitra achra could come and be makatra. Kaddish Baruch Hu, give it a ksiva. Give it some degree of permanence so that nothing could take it away. I share with you a beautiful insight. The Rav referenced the famous words of the Abu Jaham, the Uvachain, right, this recurring theme of Uvachain. Again, that feeling of Uvachain avo el melech, right, that Esther comes to the king without permission, the feeling of unworthiness that perhaps we have in standing before Hashem on the Yom HaDin. So an interesting insight. When we bench, when we recite Birchas HaMazon, so we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Va'ala kol, Hashem Elokeinu anachnu modim lach. Right? Hashem, we want to thank you. Right? It's like a part of the Noda Lecha. We thank you so much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for everything. And then we seem to ruin the whole thing at the end. Because we end, and maybe it goes back in a sense of a kamoshi adanu. We say, kakasuv, as it says, v'achalta v'savata v'achta. Why am I doing this? I paint a simple mashal. Right? Imagine a child comes over to an adult and says, I really wanted to thank you for what you did for me. That's so sweet of you. Wow, you're such a mensch. That's so beautiful. That's so thoughtful. Such midos tomos. Well, the truth is my parents told me I have to come over and say thank you. I didn't think of it on my own. Oh, okay. So you undermine the whole thing. So we say, Hashem, I want to thank you for everything that you do for us. We feel so fortunate. And the nodelecha of our benching is much more than just thank you for the food. And then, kakasuv, we're doing it because you told us we have to. Machaltav is about it. We had a nice meal. All right, we have to bench. We have to bench. You know, maybe next time I'll stick with shahakol and steak and fries, and I can just get away with the brain of fashos. My life would be so much easier that way, right? People sometimes are very scared to wash because of the, you know, the sense of obligation. Right? But we undermine the whole thank you by saying, I'm thanking you because you commanded me to do so. He says, maybe the uvachein is also part of it. Right? It's similar to the other way that he said it, the way that the Vujraham already alluded to. But maybe we're saying to Hashem, you know what? There's a part of me that not only feels unworthy of being here, that maybe sometimes doesn't even feel so comfortable. I kind of have to show up at Shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Now, if I'm in a healthy spiritual place, I want to show up on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But there's a part of me that's sometimes scared to show up on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's things that I don't really want to have to remember and apologize for and engage in. There's parts of the experience which can be very overwhelming, emotionally challenging, spiritually draining. There's a part of me that doesn't want to be here. Uvachein, but nonetheless, I feel a sense of obligation to be here because the Kadosh Baruch Hu expects me to be here. The same way that Esther had no choice but to go to Ahasuerus because the Gadol Hador, because Mordechai, her beloved husband, relative, and really the Gadol Hador told her she must do so. You don't really have a choice, Esther. And she was mevatel her ratzon to that tzivoy of someone who she trusted. So in a certain sense, the uvachein is our way of saying, and I think it's very human. It addresses, again, that very real part of ourselves that sometimes feels very overwhelmed by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And feels overwhelmed by the obligation of saying or asking so many slichos over the course of these days. But uvachein, I have no choice other than to show up because kakasuv, it's written, this is what a Jew is supposed to do during these days. This is your expectation of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that itself is meaningful. Kasher tziva Hashem. That doesn't take away from the seriousness of my commitment. In a certain sense, it enhances my commitment. Because it acknowledges that I'm doing it simply because Kadosh Baruch Hu has asked me to do so. Just checking the clock to see where we're holding. It's late. Okay, so very, very quickly. I'll end with one final, very quick thought. Chassam Sofer addresses the question, Uvachein tein pachtacha versus Uvachein tein kavod Hashem le'amecha. What's the difference between the Uvachein tein pachad, Uvachein tein kavod? And he explains very simply, it's a distinction between Yiras HaOnesh and Yiras HaRomamus. Yiras HaOnesh, do I feel a sense of trepidation before Kadosh Baruch Hu because I don't want to be punished? Or is it uvachein tein kavod? Is it a sense of what? A recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's grandeur in the world that inspires me and invites me in, that allows me to want to be pulled in. A beautiful insight from a Matul Slonimer, Rav Mordechai Chaim of Slonim, on what we sing Friday night in Kol Mekadesh. Mishoch chastecha liodecha, kel kano v'nokem. What a strange lashon. Mishoch chastecha liodecha, Hashem, perform and bring upon us your chesed, your rachamim, because you're a kel kano v'nokem, because you're a God of vengeance. What does chesed have to do with kel kano v'nokem? But he explains, and again he elaborates with the mashal, we don't have time for it now, but just very simply, there's two different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can teach us and remind us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we do the wrong things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can punish us, and that will wake us up. But there's another way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to wake us up, and this is really a tefillah to end with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could also pour so much chesed on top of us that I will be so pained by the fact that Hashem, you're so generous to me and I still don't treat you properly. It's a form of punishment in the form of a chesed. A king who's rebelled against by one of his subjects, right? And instead of punishing the fellow, he raises him to a greater position. He says, oh, this beloved king who loves me so much, who cares and provides for me so greatly, and I undermine his authority. That itself is a form of tshuva. As the Baal Shem Tov explained, Kel Nekamos Hashem, a similar idea, Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hophia. Wow, this is exciting. Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hophia. Let's see who's going to come to us. Let's see. We're somewhere between Zos Chanukah Tish and like Shavuot over here. That's okay. It's okay. I can say that this much I remember the Var. Thank you. So Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hophia means that Kel Nekamos Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a God, again, who sometimes exacts punishment. Kel Nekamos. But you know how Hashem sometimes does that? By Kel Nekamos Hophia, simply by revealing himself. And when I realize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for me, if Hashem doubles down on the chesed, I say, how could I not treat Hashem properly? Hashem is so good to me. Right? How could I not be more careful in my Shmirah Shabbos? How could I not be more careful in my Lashon Hara? How could I mumble my Shmona Esser, mumble a bracha, when Hashem has been so generous to me? And I think that's a nice tefillah in a world that's still filled with a lot of uncertainty, to daven to Hashem. If you want to punish us, Hashem, if we're found guilty, so give us more chesed to the point that we'll feel so much greater, you know, more greatly indebted to you, that we'll want to return to you with greater passion and greater stuff. Okay, my time is up, and look forward to hearing Rav Kahn.
The last couple of weeks we've begun to learn Tanakh b'chabura. The last couple of weeks it was in the context of preparing for Yom Ram, learning Yonah, and seeing what Yonah could teach us to use in our own preparation for Yemei HaRachamim. If there's interest, perhaps we'll continue after Yom Tov as well. But I thought perhaps that gives us getting into the zone of learning Tanakh maybe gives us a unique angle, a unique perspective on learning the Machzor. Maybe we could, in the final segment of tonight's three-way Machzor shir, we could fuse those two modalities of a Tanakh shir and a Machzor shir. And to spend the last couple minutes we have together looking at three of the critical prakim that lie at the center of the Rosh Hashanah Machzor. The Rav opened with a focus on the critical psukim that Chazal demand of us, the Machzor, the Chronos, and Shofars. I want to end the evening by looking at three larger chunks that really define, in many ways, stand at the core of the Machzor. But before we get to Pirkei Tanakh and what is in the Machzor, I want to open by thinking what's not in the Machzor. There's something, a Rosh Hashanah riddle, if you will. There's something missing. There's something that appears before Rosh Hashanah in great amounts, after Rosh Hashanah in even greater amounts, But strangely, Rosh Hashanah itself is entirely devoid of this. What do you have before Rosh Hashanah and after Rosh Hashanah, but not on Rosh Hashanah? Big Gilmias. Yes. How? Slichus. Vidur. Right? At the heart of what always comes together, what follows Yugilmidas, what follows Yugilmidas and forms the close in many ways of the Slichus. There's no Vidur. There's no Vidur. We're talking about Tshuva. These are days of Tshuva. There's no Vidur. What happened? No Ashana Bakar. Here and there, Vidur Makina Chatana Fanacha. It's Yom Tov. Sure, Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur as well. So you might say Yom Kippur needs it. So Rosh Hashanah doesn't need it? Rosh Hashanah is different than Yom Kippur. How? Why? What? It seems so odd. It seems so odd. This is the day, Rosh Hashanah is the day when we're beginning to fold. The din is unfolding right now. The din is unfolding in the course of Rosh Hashanah, and it's going to continue into Yom Kippur. This is unfolding over the course of Rosh Hashanah, and we're not clapping on that. Okay. Let's hold on to that question. While we turn our attention to a parak of Tehillim, that this year we blow shofar for both days, and therefore this year we're going to recite this parak of Tehillim 14 times over the course of Rosh Hashanah. Tehillim en zayin, lamanatzeach v'nekarach mizmar. When do we ever say a parak of Tehillim 7 times in a row? The Mata Ephraim is one of the classic Sifri Halacha and the Halachas of Tishrei, Hashem Kippur Sukkos, and Rav Brat, Ephraim Zalman, and in the Siman Tavkuf Pehei, he speaks of the first Siman about Shofar, so he speaks about centuries-old Minhagim to make all sorts of Hachanas for Tkiyah Shofar. He speaks of particular Hachanas in some communities, the Tokea and the Baal Tefillah and the Makir would step out and make their own hakadas, and they would come back. And meanwhile, everyone else was davening, was saying tefillah, was focusing on kavanah. Different sorts of hakadas that different communities had, and he puts at the center of all of this lamanatzeach v'nekarach mizmar. That Tehillim and Zayin, the very central, very. Highlighted hachana for the tkiyah shofar. So what's it all about? So you open up the machzor to day one or to day two. And this mizmar, what jumps at you right away, clearly we're talking about, there's plenty of discussion in this mizmar about Malchus Hashem, again and again and again. We hear about Malchus Hashem. Clearly we hear about Malchus Hashem in the context of kol shofar and trua. And we hear a lot about Malchus Hashem for the entire world. Malchus Hashem al kol ha'aretz. Malchus Hashem for all the Amim, all the nations. Now, when is this being said? The Mizmor sounds like it's describing an event, a historical event that's happening at some point. The nations are reaching out. When? When? What time period? So Ibn Ezra in Tehillim, Perek Mem Zayin, he says there are different approaches. He says some understood this was at the time of Galus Babel, perhaps leaving Galus Babel to build the second Beis HaMikdash. And some understood this describes David HaMelech in his, as he's preparing for the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash. But Ibn Ezra says the truth is he thinks that this is a reference to Imos HaMashiach. And the Radak as well says it's talking about Imos HaMashiach. Because if you look at the Mizmor, so what does it talk about? The Malbim sort of unpacks in greater detail what the Rishonim are already pointing to. They say, the way the Malbim looks at it, the world history is in part a history of war, a history of many wars. Sometimes wars are caused by religious differences. Sometimes wars are caused by ego. And who's in charge, and Ibarosh, and who's going to be, who's ego, and who's going to have political power? Lasid Lavo, the Mizmor described, Kol Adam Tikukaf. This Mizmor is described in a time in world history when all the nations hold hands. Kol Adam Tikukaf, the plan word, the Tekiah, but Tikukaf, all the nations are holding hands. Reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch, rallying around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why? Ki Hashem El Yon Nora, Melech Gadol Kol Aretz. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a is a supreme God, an awesome God, and at the same time is a great king of the entire world. So the Malbim suggests Hashem Elyon, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is supreme God, transcendent God over the ruling entire universe. And at the same time, no ra. If he's awesome, if he inspires awe, that means he relates to me. He's not only out there, but he's also here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's transcendent, and is also intimate and imminent and impacts me. So the first half of the pasuk captures that there's going to be a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will put, that will end the religious differences that drive war. And in terms of the politics and the desire for power, Melech Gadol Kol Aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be clearly, self-evidently, the real ruler of the universe. And where? Because Yivchar Lanu is Nachal Aseinu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make Yerushalayim, Ki Mitzion Teitei Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make Yerushalayim the obvious epicenter of the universe, the obvious center of the world, where the Rav Shechter describes in the Bikvei Atzon, even in a halachic sense, Yerushalayim has two different faces to it. Yerushalayim is meant to be the spiritual capital, the Makom HaMikdash, it's meant to be the political center of Eretz Yisrael. Malchus Beis David is supposed to be Al Pidin headquartered in Yerushalayim. And Yivchar Lo Es Nachal Aseinu, both. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things will come back to Yerushalayim in a way that will make it clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is God, and that will make it clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And both aspects, both drivers of war will just fade away. And then the Pesukim can go on to talk about how the nations will coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the Hamlacha, international Hamlacha, will look like. Ala Lakim Bisrua, Zamru Lakim Zameiru. And then the final two Pesukim, after the initial event of being Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what it will look like when HaKadosh, ongoing reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being recognized. Malam Al Goyim, and so on and so forth. Everyone gathered, continuing to rally around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This parak with which we prepare for shofar again and again and again, a description of what? A description of when? Yimos HaMashiach. Description of La'asid level. What it's going to be like in the future. Which is really horrible. That's the hachana for shofar, the central hachana for shofar is the Tokyah. Yes, Mashiach is a theme. But that's the central theme that we say not once, not twice, not three times, seven times. Fascinating. Couldn't have picked another parak until it talks about shofar. Couldn't have picked another parak until it talks about Malchus Shamayim. And then there's a second parak. The Gemara tells us, stepping back from Tehillim and Zion, a minute of centuries, to a Gemara. The Gemara tells the end of Masechus Megillah, the Chazal mandate, the Haftarah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, is the 31st parak of Yirmiyahu. Kromar Hashem Matzachim Bamidbar, building up to Ben Yakir Ephraim. Zachar is Kirenu. And why is that the Haftarah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Gemara says it is. And why? The Beis Yosef quotes Zeran. Well, the closing pasuk, Ben Yakir Ephraim. Zachronos. Zachar is Kirenu. Zachronos. So that explains the end, but that's not a one pasuk Haftarah. It's not a two pasuk Haftarah. So why do we start from the beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph? And the truth is, if you open up a Sefer Yirmiyahu, this is Perek Lamed Aleph 31. So the Chaf Prakim, the 20s, were largely a Nevuos that Yirmiyahu is delivering to the final set of kings of the Jewish people, the very end, in the years and decades that lead up to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Speaking to this king and that king, telling them that you're sinning and you're doing that there, it's not Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he was not a very popular figure. He gets thrown to jail. It's not pretty. And that leads us up to Perek Chaf Tes. All of a sudden, Perek Lamed, the tone changes. And the Perek Lamed opens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu, I have some nevuos for you, should write them down. Write them down. The Malbim says, yeah, because what it's about to follow is a series of positive nevuos. Not for them. This is before Beis HaMikdash is destruction of Beis HaMikdash is looming large. We're in crisis mode. Things are falling apart. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu, but there are positive nevuos also. Put them in your pocket. Write them down, and the Jews will access them in the future when they begin to be mitgashem, when they begin to be realized. And the second of those prakim of those positive prakim, you remember, was told in advance of Churban. Write this down. This will yet come. Perek Lamed Aleph, the haftar for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And he describes, we know these psukim, and if you'd like, you feel free to turn the pages in the Machzor to the second day, the laning of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Matzah chein ba midbar. Kalal Yisrael are finding chein. We're renewing our relationship. We're finding a positive relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, charm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the midbar. Why are we in the desert? When are we in the desert? The Malbim says, yeah, because the beginning of Yirmiyahu, left Echacha by Midbar, old star in the desert, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us into Eretz Yisrael. Now we're back in the desert. Desert metaphorically meaning we're on the outs. We're in Galus. We feel far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yirmiyahu says, yeah, but you're out in Galus and things are falling apart. And life seems upside down on a personal level. Life seems upside down on a national level, on a universal world level. And out in the midbar, out in the desert, matzachim. There's going to be a renewal of the relationship. Just last night, we were singing that Ahavas Olam Avtich, Arkein Meshachti Chosed. That's the second pasuk in the haftarah of day two of Rosh Hashanah. Ahavas olam ahavtich. What does that mean? Ahavas olam? A love of the world? So Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer on Nevi'im Miksupim points out, olam means forever in all times, and olam means in all places. Actually, it points to a mission in the first part of Hulin, talks in a halachic context, a technical context, that you can shech li olam. The mission is you can shech during the day, you can shech at night, you can shech in this place, on the rooftop, you can shecht on the deck of a boat. Li'ola means every when and every where. Ahavas olam ahavtich, Yirmiyahu says, you're out in the midbar, it's a time of galus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the love never stops. There's no time in history when the love stops. There's no time in my life, my personal life trajectory, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets go of me. I don't always see him. I don't always feel it. But the love is there. And there's no place. We're in Eretz Yisrael, we're out of Eretz Yisrael, a Jew is in Siberia. Ahavas olam ahavtich. And then Yirmiyahu begins to unfold from the place of Galus what Geula will look like. And a shining nevuah that brings us to Rachel Mavaka of Aneh, that brings us to Ben Yaakov Le'Ephraim. It's a description. The haftar of the second day of Rosh Hashanah is once again like that Mizmar Menzayim, with which we introduce Shofar, is largely a description of Geula. A description of Geula Asida. See, Yemosa Mashiach, again and again. Yemosa Mashiach to prepare for Shofar. Yemosa Mashiach is the haftar for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. What's it all about? Again, Yemosa Mashiach is an important part of our history. But why is that such a dominant theme in Rosh Hashanah? Why is that haftar for Shofar? Probably many, many layers to the answer, but I want to talk about what. Both of these prakim of Nach are giving us, are forcing us to look forward. To look forward and to look only forward. It's all about the future. It's you could almost say that Rosh Hashanah, when there's no vidui, there's no looking back. Leading up to Rosh Hashanah, there's a lot of looking back. There's a lot of Hashem Nebagadah. And through Aseres and Etshuva, beyond Rosh Hashanah, there's a lot of Hashem Nebagadah and climax in Yom Kippur. But Rosh Hashanah, we take a break from the Vidui. It's all forward-looking. It's almost like Rosh Hashanah is like this brief bubble of radical proactivity. It's all about what am I going to do now. The Vidui is important, but for Rosh Hashanah, Hamlochas Hashem means what am I going to do now? Here I am, what's tomorrow? Here I am, what's the next step? Action steps. And why? And why? So the one could say, to borrow the phrase, a kasav ashlishi, you don't yet have a stira, but we looked at two prakim that have a similar theme. The kasav ashlishi is the first haftar of Rosh Hashanah. The story of Tanis, the first two prakim of Sefer Shmuel. In Chana, we know it's the before and after. There's Chana in crisis, and then there's Chana in song. And Chana davens twice. There's the Chana's tefillah. We think of Chana's tefillahs when she comes to the Mishkan, and Eli wants to know how come Eli misunderstands she must be crying. Eli's not familiar with this modality of quiet tefillah. Our Shmona Esrei, the Gemara tells us, is all every Jewish Shmona Esrei is built on the model of Chana. Chana is the model of quiet tefillah. Quiet tefillah in a time of crisis. But then the Haftarah ends with, after Shmuel is born, the Shiras Chana. But the Pesukim don't refer to a Shiras Chana. Batis Balel Chana. Again a tefillah. Two tefillos of Chana. They're very, very different. Radically different moves. And one is a Bakasha and one is a Shira. And one she's broken and the other she's uplifted. In the first tefillah, she focuses on herself. The second tefillah, she's focused on her own shalom. There's very little discussion about herself. She doesn't really refer to her own situation at all. But they're both, those two tefillahs are very different in many ways, but they're both forward-looking. The tefillah in Parak Aleph, she's very focused on Torah and Kadosh Baruch Hu, what she's hoping and praying for the future. And in the second parak, the Shira, the tefillah of Chana, about Shmuel, again, she doesn't talk about Shmuel. She talks about how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And she talks about how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and a lot of it is, here's what I anticipate Kadosh Baruch Hu will do in the future. It's so forward-looking, the entire Haftarah. It's always about the next step. So Rav Yigal Ariel, in his fascinating set of Svarim on a number of Sifrei Tanakh, Rav Yigal Ariel is one of the leading Rabbanim of the Midrashat HaGolan in Chesed, very, very charming and provocative Svarim on Tanakh. So at the beginning of his Sefer Oz Melech on Sefer Shmuel, so he points out that when you think about Shmuel and the origin of Shmuel, the birth of Shmuel in Haftarah, see, he reminds you a lot of the origin of a figure, a different Jewish leader in Sefer Shoftim. And not just because Shimshon and Shmuel both start with a Shin, but both of them were born to women, to parents who were struggling with infertility. In both cases, there's this idea, even before he's born, of his being a Nazir. In both cases, there's a they're meant to play a key role in moving the needle in terms of the domination of the Plishtim over the Jews. Shimshon is the one who begins to push back against the Plishtim, and the Shmuel is the one who's going to complete that. He's going to be Karnei Shaul, and later David. He's going to complete that process that in a certain sense Shimshon began. And yet, they're so similar, but they're so radically different. Not only because their lives end in very, very different ways, but even from the outset, so different. Because the story of Shimshon just sort of falls in the lap of Shimshon's mother, whoever she is exactly, Eshet Manoah, even though her name is. She doesn't really do much. The Malach comes and tells her, you're going to have a child. The Malach comes and tells her he's going to be a Nazir. They bring a carbon eventually, but only as a thank you when it's all over. They're entirely passive. Chana is just the opposite. She's driving everything. Elkanah, Eli, Chana says, we're going to do something about this. I'm going to daven. I'm going to Mishkan. And I'm going to reach out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to reach out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm going to make this happen. The tefillah comes from her. And the Net of the Zeros comes from her. And the Karbanos are, even in terms of the larger family, Elkanah is already very engaged in Karbanos and bringing Jews to Karbanos according to Chazal from beforehand. They're similar, but the radical difference in terms of, are they passive recipients of whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is? Or are they actively engaged in Elkanah, and particularly Chana, in reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that's what you see in her tefillos. In her first tefillah, she's reached out, this is what I want, Ribono Shel Olam. In the second tefillah, it's no longer about her. But it's a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. That's the primary theme of her second tefillah. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. He's the driver of change on the national level, on the cosmic level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the driver of change on the personal level. But there's no loss of agency. But it moves instead from asking for things to figuring out, so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the universe, so then where do I fit in? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the universe, so then Ratzon Hashem is the most significant thing in the world. And sometimes it's going to be very obvious what I can do to further Ratzon Hashem. Sometimes it's going to be very mysterious, sometimes baffling. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do? It's a confusing situation. It's a painful situation. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do? But that's the primary message of Chanan, of Chanan's second tefillah. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and where do I fit in? It's active. It's here I am, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and what's the next step? That's what emerges from these three sections of Tanakh that are lie at the core of our machzor. The haftar of the first day, the haftar of the second day, and Lamateach of Nikarach Mizmar. It's all about what's the next step? What's the next step? What's Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge, and where do I fit in, and how do I act? It's forward looking. It's proactively reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the future, as Chana does in her first tefillah. And it's dedicating ourselves to the mission of making Ratzon Hashem a reality. That's what Kabbalah's Olmach Shemayim really is about. Figuring out how I'm meant to live in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to. And that's in a deep sense, that's Hamlachas Hashem. It's an energizing Hamlachas Hashem. Not just an abstract fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Yes, that's true. And therefore what? Here I am right now. Right, Rosh Hashanah is not a day for Vidur. There will be days for Vidur beforehand, there will be days for Vidur afterwards. But Rosh Hashanah is a day to say, here I am, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and now what? What do I do next? An energizing hamlacha, finding my place in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, investing myself in realizing Ratzon Hashem, may we talk of Bizocha, to be Mamluch Hashem, may we talk of Bizocha, to a year in which we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's leadership of the world. We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's management of the world. May it be a year in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness is revealed to us. And may it be a year in which Kol Ma'ida Avid Rachman L'Tav Avid is in a way that's clear and self-evident, in a way that we're able to appreciate its sweetness in the moment. Thank you. I figured we'd be in a similar